The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you to live out what you feel called to in your heart? You know, there is so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there really, really is peace of mind when you know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There's just so much potential for anxiety and worry when that alignment is not present.
That's right, James. Yeah. But that's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing and possibly even scary.
Yeah. All those headlines flying around, that can
really
be scary.
Really
scary, that's right. But, you know, unfortunately, when you're confused or scared, you just are not making good decisions. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to episode 42 of Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then part of the way through the show, we get to our weekly puzzler.
Yay,
my favorite part. That's right. I just lost my spot on our script here.
Nope, puzzler.
Oh, that's right, the weekly puzzle. See, you just got me off track already. Anyway, we don't know if the puzzler will actually be interesting to anybody but us, but we're here at the mic, so it's our call, I guess, right?
That's right.
And they didn't throw us off the air yet.
No.
So the puzzlers couldn't have been too bad.
Nope. And no one kind of leaned on us to tell us to take us out.
That's
take it
right.
out either. So.
Hey, get rid of that puzzler. That's right.
So let's jump into our show this week, James. In our week in review, what did you think was a financial news highlight from this past week?
Yeah, so there was this headline that came across my desk, and I guess it was the Daily Hodel reported that unrealized losses on banks' balance sheets were up, like, substantially, which means that banks have a lot of unrealized losses.
Hmm.
So that just got me
thinking. That doesn't sound good.
No, what's this number? 1,000 million billion?
Let's see, 100,000 million billion. Yep.
Billion, yes.
118 billion.
So the headline was, U.S. banks' unrealized losses explode by 118 billion.
Oh, that's not the total. That's how much it increased.
That's how much it increased.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so the way this works, like an unrealized loss is when you're holding an asset that goes down in value.
Mm-hmm.
And in short, right, if you're a bank and you loan...
Unrealized because they haven't sold it yet. They're still holding it.
They're still holding it.
Right.
That's right, yeah. And this, you know, this is the way a bond or a loan or anything like that works. You loan money out, and the value of that paper equals the interest that you're supposed to receive over the period of time. So all's fair, right? If you hold the paper all the way to its maturity date, you get all your money back plus interest, as long as the person you loaned it to is making their payments. And that's fine if, I mean, but dial back a few years, right? When interest rates were lower, arguably lower than they are right now. Let's pretend I'm a bank and I loan money out to you for a mortgage, and you now have a mortgage at 3.5%, and it is scheduled to pay for 30 years, and all of a sudden interest rates go up. Mm.
Meaning that?
Like interest rates went up to 5%. Mm-hmm. I mean, where are mortgages right now?
So you have a loan that's paying you less than if you got a new one.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's undesirable for you.
That's undesirable. So my bank is holding this piece of paper that's paying 3.5%, but new interest rates now are like 8.5%.
So they're stuck.
They're stuck. And now I'm sitting here trying to sell my 3.5% paper to Joe. We're just seeing.
Joe doesn't want it.
Joe doesn't want it because he can get 8.5. So Joe's like, I don't want your paper.
Yeah. And the homeowner doesn't want to pay it off early. Well, if they got a new house, it'd be a higher rate.
That's right. Or not just a homeowner, but, you know, a business that has a loan or a lease or anything else, right? So all this paper is out there in the system that was issued over the last 15 or 20 years at really, really low rates.
And they're stuck with it.
And so that is an unrealized loss.
So how do they start unloading that? Just slowly over time as rates start to normalize?
Right. Well, we all know, you know, banks don't just sit there and hold that paper. They try to sell it to somebody else. Mortgage companies do that.
At a discount.
At a discount, right. But when they sell it at a discount, then...
Because they can feel like they can make moves now that are better.
That's right.
And make up some of that loss probably.
That's right. But then it becomes a realized loss, right? So this is what happened, you know, a couple of years ago when Silicon Valley Bank had a problem. You know, depositors started requesting their money. And of course, you know, if we have money in the bank, we all expect that we'll be able to go get our money anytime that we want to, in spite of the fact that the banker has all that money loaned out.
Right.
It's just not sitting there in a little drawer waiting for me to come get it. And so if enough people start asking for withdrawals, then the bank has to hit their balance sheet and suddenly those unrealized losses, boom, could suddenly become realized, and then we got a real problem, right?
Even my bank, Wells Fargo, doesn't like me going and getting more than $2,000 without calling ahead.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, you know, we laugh about it. It's not really funny. So anyway.
Like, can you please call next time? Yeah. I was like, sure.
Yeah. So Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, right? So the government has this program.
FDIC
Insurance. That's right.
See that little logo at all the banks?
That's right. So you can read all about this, everything we're going to cover here. You can read all about this by visiting www.fdic.gov. And especially like if you really need some nighttime reading to help put you to sleep.
If you got insomnia.
That's right. Read through all the fine print on the FDIC website. But in any case, so FDIC came up with this system to evaluate whether or not banks are financially strong or weak or whatever. They call it the CAMELS system. I have no idea where they came up with that name.
I've never even heard of this before.
I mean, camels. Why not llamas?
I want alpacas.
Or alpacas.
I was just hugging an alpaca.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably that, you know, alpaca doesn't lay out nicely. So anyway, so what they cover, CAMELS, right? Capital adequacy. So they're asking, does the bank have enough capital?
That's important.
To meet anticipated withdrawal requests, right?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a certain percentage you might have to have on hand.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we don't have time here to get into the weeds. We're just, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the C, capital adequacy. The A in CAMELS is all about assets. What are the quality of assets? I mean, remember, a bank's asset is somebody else's liability.
So maybe what type of rating are those bonds and things like that?
Like if my bank loans money to you and now the FDIC was evaluating my bank's balance sheet, they would sort of be looking through to see, well, you know, these people you loaned money to, are they paying on time? What's their credit rating?
That's important.
Yeah, and so on and so forth. So assessing the quality of assets then again means looking at the bank's loan portfolio to assess whether the borrowers have a good financial ability to pay.
And so that's the C and the A.
That's the C and the A. And there's more to it. Again, we're really covering this in a high level. The M is all about management. Mm-hmm. People running the bank, what's the track record of their decisions.
And that can make or break an organization.
It really can. How strong is the board, and so on and so forth. The E in CAMELS is all about earnings. Does the bank earn enough through interest paid by their borrowers and from selling their loans? Do they earn enough to pay their depositors and still have a little bit of a profit margin left? And again, that's...
Or they wouldn't be in business.
Or they wouldn't be in business.
They're not a charity.
That's exactly right. But basically, you know, if earnings in a bank drop off, then you quickly run into a spot where the bank is in trouble, right? So the L in CAMELS is all about liquidity. Really, are the assets that the bank has able to be liquidated to meet demands for withdrawals? Can the bank go get the capital it needs if people want their money out? And finally, how sensitive is the bank's loan portfolio? Really, how sensitive is the bank to risk? If the economy slows down, let's say, and borrowers begin running into trouble and have trouble paying back their loans, that represents a risk.
Like Silicon Valley.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's how banks are evaluated. And, you know, I was looking and looking and looking to see if there's any way to get that report, like, for the bank I work with.
Right? No.
and actually wasn't able to find that. But still, understanding that you can, you can study and follow your bank's balance sheet and so on and so forth. The main idea is to be trying to work with financial institutions that have some financial strength.
Absolutely. Well, we got about a little over a minute here left, and I know we wanted to talk about some of this federal spending. Let's touch that on a high level.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Maybe, you know, we'll get a really high level and maybe come back to some of that next week. That this was the Wall Street Journal.
And this is all in the news these days.
This is all in the news.
We probably will cover this more next week.
That's right. Where is government spending going? There are actually nine different categories here of places where government, the fastest growing categories of the federal budget. So, and you know, this all becomes important because where money flows, then there's economic activity.
Yes. And that's what's important for our listeners.
And that's what's really important, right? Because
is this money going and how's it impacting you?
That's right. We make investments, right? We have investment portfolios, and as investors, the main idea is to try to structure our portfolios in a way that takes advantage of cash flows.
That's right.
And money flow in the economy. And if we're not structured the right way, then our portfolios get hammered.
Right? And that is not what our clients want to see in near or in their retirement years.
That's right. I mean, you don't accomplish anything. I mean, we say money in mission. So we have to understand the money as well as understanding the mission. If we don't understand the money, we don't have to be able to teach a class on it. We just have to have a good understanding and make sure we're structured the right way.
No, that's a very good point. I think we should jump into that in more detail next
week. Yeah, let's cover that next week as well.
Alrighty, folks. Well, we're out of time in this segment. We're going to listen to some words from our supporters. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And as you noted, Eric, going out of our first segment, we are working through SMART.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've talked about understanding your definition of success and how important it is to have that definition written down. But according to the classic definition of SMART, or the classic presentation anyway, SMART is an acronym where the S stands for being specific, the M stands for being measurable, and the A stands for achievable.
That's right.
But, you know, if there's only one thing that you get out of today's discussion, I hope that you'll remember that there are actually two more A's that should be in SMART. Now, that's my opinion. It's not the standard presentation of SMART, but we'll talk about that. The importance is that these other two A's have to be present if the achievable part is going to work. They just can't. We'll get to those other two A's in a few minutes. But first, let's just realize that there is a conundrum presented by the word achievable.
I
think conundrum is the right word.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
What a conundrum is...
Oh, it's like an issue.
Yeah, it's an issue. It's a catch 22 or something, right? Our definition of something that's achievable, or our understanding of something that's achievable, is usually tied to our understanding of what is realistic.
That's true.
Therefore, our definition of success is often limited by our own perception of what is realistic.
And that can be different for different folks.
That's right. It can be different for different folks. Some people have big,
lofty goals,
lofty definitions of what's realistic. And other mm-hmm. times people freeze in place and think, oh my goodness, that could never happen. And so then their definition of success is limited by their understanding of what is possible and what's realistic. Now, let's just say at the outset, right, we are big fans of being realistic.
Yes.
We are. But if you're listening to this podcast, we want you to know that it's important to allow God to challenge and expand your thinking and your understanding of what's realistic.
That's true.
And what's achievable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is somewhere in the biblical text, it says, with God, all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there's a difference between being crazy and following God's call into what might seem to be unachievable.
Yeah. And I think it's more important to remember that realistic doesn't mean settling for mediocrity.
Mm.
You know, that can mean just setting goals that are challenging but attainable within the resources and the time frame that we have available for us.
Yeah. So if you're thinking, oh my goodness, that just doesn't seem very realistic, I'm going to keep bringing my understanding of what's achievable, I'm going to keep bringing it down and down and down until suddenly it's just mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. That's not what we're talking about.
No, not at all.
Now, it's important also to say that whenever we do say whether we think something is achievable, we're making an assumption about the future.
That's true. That's a great point.
Right. And again, in the Bible, it tells us that we should not just say, oh, tomorrow we're going to do this or tomorrow we're going to do that. We should always say, you know, God willing,
mm-hmm.
right? If God wills, tomorrow we will do this. So because none of us knows the future, only God knows the future.
Mm-hmm. It's important, you know, to have flexibility and be adaptable in our financial planning, right?
That's right.
Unexpected events can always arise. We never know from where, so it's important to be prepared and just to adjust our course as needed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. If we allow our own understanding to kind of limit our definition of success, we run the risk of missing what God might have for us.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. I just think we're going to talk about some really specific examples and cases in point. But I think to myself, what if the Ursuline sisters, we've referenced them before here, but what if the Ursuline sisters had just kind of said, oh my goodness, this isn't realistic, this is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we know today as Catholic Charities may never have come into existence.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They just set out and started to go doing what were called to in their hearts.
And the old saying, if you shoot for the moon, you may land amongst the stars.
That's exactly right. So we don't want you to miss out on God's blessing because you're stuck in your own understanding of what might be realistic.
In your worldly thinking, your worldly thoughts and beliefs.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To not engage in a particular direction or endeavor because we think it's unachievable, inevitably has us staying at status quo.
Yeah, that's true. And like you said, the Bible is full of examples, you know, of people who are achieving seemingly impossible things through faith. And while we need to be wise, we shouldn't let fear or our limited thinking hold us back from God's best.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, I was talking this topic over with someone before we got here, and she said, wow, this is making me feel like I should be doing more.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. I said, no, the point is really not that you should be doing more. The point is that you should be listening to God,
mm-hmm.
and where God might be steering you in your planning. Right. And your financial planning and your business plan and so on and so forth. So without that vision, status quo just stays put. And it just stays status quo, right? Which sounds kind of redundant, but status quo is status quo. But think about it. You know, the reason Christopher Columbus sailed under Spanish influence and funding was that the other governments he approached for funding did not think that his vision was achievable.
He approached a few of them, too.
He approached a few. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess back then they thought the world was flat. You know, why should we dump money into an effort where you're just going to sail off the side of the globe?
That's right.
Or, I mean, the side of the world, right?
Uh-huh. The ocean just falls off, or there's an ice wall out there somewhere.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, that just, his voyage would never have happened unless somebody thought that at least his vision was somewhat achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And because that happened, then someone felt, he felt free, and he was freed up to be able to actually go do that. So I would say, too, it's important to recognize the difference between something that is unrealistic and something that is simply outside of our realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to be aware of that. Like, you know, when Jesus fed this huge crowd of 5,000 people or more, I guess, with one tiny little lunch, that was certainly outside of everybody's realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But for God, it was no big deal.
No big deal.
No big deal. That's right. So we have to recognize the difference between what's unrealistic and what's outside of our realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I don't know, if you were back then when Christopher Columbus was looking for funding, do you think you would have said, hey, I think that's achievable? I mean, try to put yourself in that space and time.
Not if my resources were finite. If I was a rich king, I would probably want to have that notoriety. But just putting yourself in their shoes and their way of thinking back then, and if you really thought the earth was flat, or like, no, you're not going to spend everything you have on a crazy idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even, you know, 110 years ago or so, my grandfather was dating my grandmother, and they were driving around in a horse-drawn sleigh. And I'm sure that if someone had said to him, hey, you're running late, just call her up,
mm-hmm.
he would have said,
text.
Yeah, he would have said, what does that mean? How do you call somebody up? Right? Because 110 years ago, they didn't have telephones.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not anywhere close to like what we have today. So it was outside
of
his...
You told someone you were meeting them a Tuesday at noon. You had to be there Tuesday at noon.
That's right. Yeah. Or the world didn't turn. So there was, you know, that was outside of his realm of understanding, but it was actually not even achievable back then because they didn't have some of the technology that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, as we go through the rest of our... The rest of our time here today, we want to talk about some sort of case studies, if you will, cases in point of things that were either achievable or not achievable, and we'll maybe talk through why or why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, because I think it's so important to understand, to try to wrap our heads around this, you know?
Yeah, we'll get into those in our next segment.
Well, we're up to our weekly puzzle.
Can I say this is your favorite part?
This is my favorite part. All right, last week's puzzle was great. What did the lifelong bicycle mechanic do in his mid-60s?
The lifelong bicycle mechanic, what did he do in his mid-60s?
Mid-60s.
What's the answer?
He retired.
Oh, retired.
Retired.
The week before we had tire, right? He was tired?
He was too tired.
Okay.
He was too tired.
And now this one, he's retired?
That's right. That's right. The week before, why did he stop going to work? Because he was too tired. Now in his mid-60s, he retired. Gotta love it.
Alrighty. Well, I don't think this one has to do with a bicycle in any way, but this week's puzzle is, when is 1,500 plus 20 and 1,600 minus 40 the same thing? I'll repeat.
And those numbers are too big.
When is 1,500 plus 20... and 1,600 minus 40, the same thing.
Eric, that is not even fun.
No. They're not number eight like that.
That's right. I mean, this is the radio. I mean, we're right. Well, anyway, if you think you know the answer, right, send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the correct answer on the air next week.
You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.
Holy Family Radio is your Catholic voice in central Pennsylvania, but as a listener-supported radio station, we need your help. Not only during our annual pledge drives and speaker series, but throughout the year. Please prayerfully consider a donation of any amount to AM 720. Giving is easy. Visit our website, 720whyf.com, and click the donate page and follow the instructions. And thank you for whatever you can give to Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we're continuing our conversation of SMART goals, right? Whereas S, SMART is an acronym, S stands for specific, M stands for measurable. And as we said in the last segment, A is all about being achievable.
That's right.
So we want to look at several just kind of profile situations and talk through whether or not we think these are achievable.
Mm-hmm. And whether or not they were realistic, unrealistic, right? When you're thinking about embarking on some of these.
That's right. Or if you find yourself in this kind of situation, is it achievable? And that's going to lead us to the second A.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
Well, we'll get to that.
We'll hold off on that.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So let's just kind of paint a scenario. Let's pretend that you have been saving and investing all of your life, and you now have, let's say, $1 million in an IRA or a 401k plan, and it's all pre-tax money,
mm-hmm.
which means it has never been subjected to income tax.
And Uncle Sam's going to want a piece of that.
But let's say that, you know, this is reality for you, and you also have your definition of success and how you think about taxes is that you don't want to pay taxes, or you'd like to pay as few taxes as possible.
As legally required.
That's right. But you have all this money built up in a bucket, if you will, that has never been taxed.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have this thing called an IRS required minimum distribution,
mm-hmm.
which means that somewhere along the way, you're going to, when you hit the age of somewhere over 70, you're going to have to
take some of that out.
Start taking money out. And guess what's going to happen when you start taking money out?
Have to pay taxes on
you have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And that just isn't aligned with your definition of success.
Right.
Right. So this is kind of an example. Do you think that's achievable? Is it realistic?
No, not to not pay tax on it. There are some strategies to try to mitigate that, but
right. I mean, unless you have significant charitable intent,
mm-hmm.
where you could make charitable, qualified charitable distributions out of your IRA.
Explore other options like Roth conversions.
Yes. But even when you do a Roth conversion, you have to pay tax.
Yeah, you're paying less, though, if you do it right.
If you do it right bracket. Over the long term. That's mm-hmm. right. It depends on your tax bracket.
You won't pay none, that's for sure.
You won't pay none. That's yeah. right. So the bottom line is, you know, if you've built up all this money in pre-tax investment accounts and now you have to take the money out, well, paying less taxes simply may not be realistic, may not be achievable.
That's true.
The only action, oh, that's the next A, action.
Oh, a Freudian slip there, James.
I guess we were going to, like, build up to that, you know, and but Oh my goodness, we should practice more, right? But that second A that we referenced, again, action. I mean, the action step you can take is to work with a financial advisor who can help you to understand what possibilities exist in trying to meet your tax goal in light of the circumstances you're in. Let's kind of use another profile situation. Let's pretend, again, you have investments that you've been making, and you're invested in maybe mutual funds that have stocks inside of them, or maybe you own stocks. And so you have most of your money is invested in the market, but you also don't want any more fluctuation in your account than, let's say, 1%. That's a mismatch.
That's not realistic.
That's not realistic.
No.
Whether it's achievable or not is something that we really, I don't know, we could discuss all day long and debate as to whether, but it simply isn't realistic, right?
Not to be exposed in a market like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what kind of action could you take in a situation like that if, I guess, you could realign your portfolio to get more in line with your risk tolerance?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way that, you know, you can have such small downturns and expect growth out of that at the same time.
That's right.
It doesn't align.
That's right. So, you know, we set these goals, we have this definition of success, and then we ask ourselves, is this achievable? And as we said in the first segment, you know, we have to decide whether or not our understanding of achievable is actually realistic. Somewhere along the way, though, people have a vision for something that could happen that isn't happening right now. Like even here, somewhere along the way, there was no such thing as Holy Family Radio.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time, right? How long ago was that, Joe? That's a pop quiz.
Well, no, pop quiz question. I think this is our 13th year. I could be wrong, it might be 14. But it's we're going into a four. This is the 14th because I was here. I've been here 12.
Right.
There we go.
So 15 years ago, there was no Holy Family Radio.
Yep.
It was just a vision, right? And a bunch of people got together and tried to decide whether this was achievable. And clearly it is.
Yes, it is.
Right.
I mean, we're here right now.
That's right. But somebody needed to break that down into action steps, or this would have never happened.
Yeah. And there was definitely a demand for it, right?
That's right.
You know, a specific audience with an existing demand here in the area. So by someone having a good plan that was specific, measurable, and taking action.
That's right. So this whole idea of taking action is just critical, because without taking action, then these things that we call ideas and a vision and a definition of success just plain old doesn't happen. The Bible says it like this. It says faith without works is dead.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, you can have this idea, but if you don't do anything about it, nothing is going to happen.
And I know with the A for action, you have the no, believe, and do principle, right?
Well, yeah. So the no, believe, do principle is really all about you know something. Now, whether it's a principle that you know about or it's a conviction you have, you know something.
And that's important for taking action. Understanding the facts, the context, potential consequences of a situation is crucial for making informed decisions.
That's right.
And taking appropriate action.
That's right. So you know something. Then you have to decide if you believe what you actually know.
Having that confidence to execute.
That's right. You know, I would argue if you don't do anything about it, then you probably don't believe it to begin with. Unless you do believe it, and then you just sit there and you're so bothered. You know, can't sleep at night or whatever because it's just eating you.
Or you might not be so driven or motivated or passionate about it if you don't truly believe in it.
That's right. Yeah. So know, believe, do. You must do something about it in order for anything to actually happen. There's some other. So Holy Family Radio, what a great situation. And whatever we were talking about earlier about mismatched, tax profiles, somewhere a long time ago, you were just chasing, you know, putting money into those tax deferred vehicles and you didn't even think about it. And so that's maybe you were doing something, but the doing was not very lined up with where you were actually trying to go. And we'll be covering more of that in the fourth segment. One other, I think, scenario that I wanted to highlight here is let's pretend that you have investments and you'd like your investments to be aligned with your values and your convictions.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about that often.
We do. Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we had an episode where we were talking about reading a prospectus to understand what was actually happening inside of that.
Or more specifically, with their advisor, making sure that those values align.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's say that your advisor does not share your convictions.
Mm.
Oh, we'll talk more about that in the fourth segment, right? But that's a real problem, or it can be a real problem. So in terms of, you know, action, let's just kind of dial back. What if my action really is, again, not realistic? Like, let's say that I have a goal. My definition of success is that I'm going to become the president of the United States.
That's a lofty goal.
That's a lofty goal.
I mean, there's only been 45 of them ever. So what are the chances?
Yeah. I do something about it, or I have to dial down my expectations,
mm-hmm.
right? And otherwise, I'm simply sitting there living with an expectation that doesn't make any sense.
Right. You have a better chance of being a gold medal Olympian.
yeah, that's right. So there are some things then that are realistic and doable, and other things where we simply have to recognize, you know, limitations, or maybe understand that that's not really something that we're called to do in the first place.
Mm-hmm. What about like the moon landing?
Oh, the moon landing?
Now, what do we want to say about that? Was that realistic? Was that unrealistic at the time, you know?
When they first got started?
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, that's...
1961, President Kennedy made that commitment, that goal for our country to send a man to the moon and safely return him back to Earth by the end of the decade.
That's right. But then they started taking, again, action steps.
That's right.
In that direction. The Wright brothers did the same thing with the first airplane.
Mm-hmm.
If you visit... oh my goodness, the Outer Banks.
Kitty Hawk
is where the first airplane was flown. Now, to be sure, they had a lot of accidents, a lot of things happened along the way, but they did not give up on their vision of what was possible. But at the time, you know, would we have described that as realistic or not? But they did something about it, right? Mm-hmm. They started taking action, and that action moved them in a direction where they felt called to go. And right. The result is that we have airplanes flying around all over the place today.
And that's how we got to the moon, by standing on the shoulders of giants before them and improving their technological advances.
That's right. And that's how, again, Ave Maria University came to be. It's how Holy Family Radio came to be, and so many other things that we know and love.
Yeah, well, good stuff. Well, folks, we're all out of time in this segment. We'll be back after this short break, and we will go over the third A, and I won't let it slip out. So you're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are wrapping up here in our fourth segment our discussion of the A in SMART.
Mm-hmm.
Where SMART is an acronym, but the S stands for being specific, M stands for being measurable, A stands for being achievable, but we added two other A's, right? And we covered action.
James put his own twist on it.
That's right. We covered action in the last segment. But that's so important. For action, for anything to happen, somebody needs to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And so
what's our third A?
So the third A really is about alignment.
Ah, yes.
So, and we said, really, if these two A's, the action and the alignment, are not present, then the achievable is all messed up,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't happen the way that it could. Action must be in alignment with what you're called to, your definition of success. Think about what happens when an action is not in alignment with your definition. I mean, we'll talk through some things, but alignment is just, what are your thoughts on that, Eric?
I think it's pretty important. It's kind of like having a blueprint for a house, you know, and instead of following those blueprints, you just start building rooms at random. You might end up with a house, but it won't be the home you envisioned.
Mm.
I mean, so it must align with your vision.
That's right. You know, 2.5 years ago, I decided that I was going to lose some weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing a little bit more exercise and changed my diet, and I actually dropped like 35 pounds.
That's good.
And then 2 years ago, shortly after I did that, I started playing steel guitar in a country gospel music band. And we were driving all over central Pennsylvania and southern New York and, you know, playing gigs.
So you probably had the road diet going on, huh?
And all of a sudden the road diet kicked in, right? That's right. You know, the burger here, slice of pizza there. And guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the action was not in alignment with where I wanted to be. And, you know, the 40 pounds came back, or 35, or whatever it was, right? We won't talk about that. We'll get off that topic here. But alignment, yeah, is if the action is not in alignment, then what you were hoping to achieve doesn't occur.
So what are some of the consequences of misalignment, would you say?
Well, I would say, like, wasted time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Wasted resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you have XYZ as a goal, I mean, we talk about values-based investing all the time. So let's say you have that as a goal and your portfolio just doesn't reflect that. Then the opportunities that otherwise could have happened simply don't occur.
Yeah. And those wasted time and resources, they can leave you feeling exhausted and unfulfilled.
And frustrated.
And frustrated, discouraged, yes.
And disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Those negative emotions that come up from you not having a goal that, you know, is aligned with your values, you're not putting it in action, you feel like you're not getting anywhere, that can leave you feeling horrible.
That's right. This tends to show up, well, it shows up, for me, it showed up in, you know, the road diet.
right.
But it also shows up in places like our calendars.
How so?
Well, the way we schedule our time is either in alignment with where we're trying to go or not.
Oh, fair. Yep.
Yeah. Like you. I mean, you have already, you have your master's in business administration,
mm-hmm.
right? And but you are now, as a financial advisor, you are pursuing the certified financial planner designation.
Correct.
And so you're enrolled to take classes over at Elizabethtown University or Elizabethtown College.
College,
right?
Yep.
And I guess after the CFP, the plan is to pursue the Master's of Financial Services.
Master's of Science and Finance.
Master's of Science and Finance, right.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but.
Yeah. So this is going to require you to align several things. I mean, you had to take some action. If you would just sit around talking about that, hey, it's something I want to do, and, you know. I mean, the first action you had to take was actually sign up for classes.
Mm-hmm.
And now then you had to align your budget.
That's right.
Right. And what about the amount of time? I mean, when I studied for the CFP designation a number of years ago, that summer I spent 260 hours studying. That was a schedule commitment. It showed up on my calendar. So if I had said, hey, you know, this is a goal, I'm pursuing this goal and everything, and every time you looked, you know, I was out
I was out on the lake. I was, you know, down at the shore. I was just doing all kinds of things other than actually studying. Mm. We would say my action was not in alignment with what I said my goal was.
That's true.
Right? So mm-hmm. so alignment like that shows up on our calendar. It shows up on our calendar. And so we've got to be aware, again, of where this shows up.
And you as well, right, James? You're enrolled in the Chartered Market Technician Level 3 course at this point.
That's right. Yeah.
You've gotten through Level 1 and Level 2.
Levels 1 and 2 were not enough.
They were not. Now, let me tell you, folks, I read online that it said the pass rate for those exams is about 40 to 50% for each one of them. And he passed it on the first try.
Yeah.
I mean, you hold other designations, right? The Certified Kingdom Advisor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You hold the Chartered Financial Consultant.
Right.
Certified Financial Planner, which right. I'm signed up for now, and the Chartered Life Underwriter designations.
That's right. Yeah, so it just, you know, again, there's a time commitment to the study in order to get to there. So if your calendar is not...
I just think you're a glutton for punishment, to be honest. Well,
that could be. That's, you know, the action. It's not in alignment, right? But no, seriously, again... So you have this goal and this definition. I would like to be at this spot, and I have... I know what things are supposed to look like when I finish my study and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't align my calendar, right? If the actions that I'm taking in my schedule and the way I outline my time don't match, then I'm not in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And things don't move to the direction. And whatever I said is simply not achievable, right? If I'm not doing what it takes to actually get there.
And James, you know, you already are a highly qualified financial professional, but by tackling that CMT level 3, you're diving even deeper into the technical side of market analysis.
That's right.
And folks, this isn't just about letters after his name. You know, this knowledge directly translates to better investment decisions for his clients, whether he's managing their individual portfolios or guiding the overall strategy at the firm. So yeah. That is in alignment with what you're trying to achieve.
That's in alignment.
With what you're doing with your clients as your profession.
That's right. And, mm-hmm. you know, here on Holy Family Radio, you know, the folks at Holy Family Radio could say, hey, we're all about, teaching, good Catholic values to our listeners. And if instead of having quality programming like this coming on, let's pretend you had somebody on to talk about Corvettes.
Yeah.
Speaking of Corvettes,
right? No, it just wouldn't be in alignment, right? I mean, it sounds silly, but we have to think about these principles when we're looking at, again, our own planning, right? And the way our investments are structured, the way we have our businesses set up.
And I think that's evident what Holy Family's doing, right? Because as you look down through the programming page, each show, you know, has a different topic. They have a different talking point that they're going on, but they're all teaching those good Catholic values in their own way, their own corner of the world, and how they're able to help folks.
That's exactly right.
We're trying to do that here for the financial side.
That's right. Well, there's another situation then where this alignment thing comes into play.
What's that?
So, again, we've talked about you want your values to be reflected in your investments and in your financial plan. And let's just say for the sake of conversation that you kind of sit down and you review everything and you decide that that's just not happening to your satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so you take an action. You go talk to maybe an advisor that you've been working with.
Right.
And you lay out your vision and your conviction. And let's just say for the sake of conversation that maybe this advisor does not share your convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? There's a misalignment there.
Absolutely.
Right? And then you have some other choices to make as to whether or not you want to, you know, evaluate and change some of those relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's important for the advisors that we have around us to help us in the direction that God's called us to go.
That's
otherwise,
right.
And it's a tough topic because it gets very personal sometimes, but it's important to keep that alignment in mind. Well, some other things that you can do, some other actions that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
Some other actions you can take I mean, certainly you can keep listening to Money and Mission.
That's step one.
Step one.
Tune step in. Right.
That's right. Download. Give us a thumbs up.
Hit the bell. All the things they say.
That's right. Send us an email. Let us know what we're doing well. What you'd like to see. But no, Money and Mission. Here we're helping you to think about, again, putting in place these action steps that bring God's kingdom to earth right here, just like it is in heaven. A second thing that you can do if you're just evaluating and you're trying to get a perspective on that, we've referenced before Compass Financial Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a website, compassfinancialministry.org, in which there's great curriculum and books that you can buy that will help steer you and help you get a perspective on action steps and ways to align your faith and your finances like that. Another website, Kingdom Advisors,
mm-hmm.
kingdomadvisors.com. And if you are seeking out an advisor, you can go to kingdomadvisors.com and that would be a place to start in terms of seeing if there's an advisor that is in alignment with your own values.
And I like from a passage from Proverbs, it says, where there is no guidance, a nation falls.
Mm.
But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So don't hesitate to reach out like that. And this whole thing of having taking action and being in alignment is absolutely critical to making sure that the achievable part actually takes place.
That's right. I think that was a good one today.
That was a good one today.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We appreciate folks for tuning in. This was the most recent episode 9 on Money and Mission. And we look forward to talking to you next week. You are listening to WHYF AM 720.